You get a twist off there.
Quiet, you.
That's a little bottom shelf, don't you
just
think?
Yes, I do. Well, now do you have your drink?
Now I've got my drink. Have you got your drink?
Yes, I do.
All right. Boy, you think this is good podcasting. I was doing a little project last night that I suddenly remembered at, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night that the kid needed to bring in a treat for her class for her birthday.
Oh, we got a picture of this.
Sure. We got a picture. And this particular teacher, I like her very much. But she does insist that all treats have to be fruit or vegetable oriented. And, you know, it's a birthday thing, and the fruit and the vegetable.
Is she a communist?
Partially.
Maybe.
So, anyway, here's a tip for you. You take two slices of apples, like thin slices of apples with the skin still on them, and you spread a little bit of peanut butter in them like a sandwich, and then you put little mini marshmallows in between.
Whoa. There's like two kinds of bad sugar there, peanut butter and the marshmallow.
Well, it's that kind of school. You're allowed to bring peanut butter, and you can have sticks on the playground, too.
You're a monster.
So here I am, angrily doing this craft, and I turn on the radio, and it was Canadian public radio. It was like everything was against me. And first they had this long, long, drawn-out story of, like, some white guy who was getting himself declared officially an Indian or something. And that went on for a good long time. And they're like, and now we're going to interview somebody who's been stuck in his truck because there's a lot of snow. And that went on for a really long time. And I felt patriotic. I felt a little bit patriotic, which I hadn't felt for a few months.
Well, you should have been listening to American public radio that day.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to it on the way home from work.
Yeah.
And they were explaining the new change to baseball where you don't have to throw all four pitches to intentionally walk someone, which is communist.
Yeah, that's communist.
But the NPR reporter is explaining it, and he's trying to explain rules of baseball, and he clearly does not understand baseball, and he's clearly explaining it for an audience that does not understand baseball either.
Well, yes. I
felt so much better about myself.
Yeah.
Knowing that, yep, I'm still better than those people.
even I know what an intentional walk is. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I hope everybody feels better about themselves.
That's
now.
That's when the pitcher wants to put a man onto first base.
Man or woman.
A batter.
A batter.
A batsman. I mean, a
non-denominational.
A bat person.
I don't think. Can you say bat on public radio? Isn't that kind of a little hetero?
It might be mammal normative. I don't know.
I don't understand.
Winged mammal normative.
That's just strange.
Should we check in with Rachel Dolezal?
Oh my gosh! You know, it's nice. It's nice to have a controversy that you could just completely check out of. You're like, I do not like nobody. Nobody wins in this one. This is just not. Nope. You're not gonna pin this one on me. No, sir. all right. What else? What else you got? I know. I have a few interests. I have a wide selection of stories to tell you about. We haven't talked much this week because we've been crazy busy doing stupid things.
Yeah, I know.
As usual, I came across. Oh, here's an interesting story. Well, with Easter coming up, Passover coming up, I've been thinking about cooking with great fear and trembling lately. And I came across a story about a new restaurant, a restaurant in Staten Island. It showcases a different grandmother's cooking every night. And they've got different grandmothers from different parts of the world or from different ethnic extractions. And they take turns being in charge, and then the other grandma gets to be the sous chef, or however you say that, like the helper person.
Sounds like grandma's given some free labor here. This is like human trafficking in grandmas.
I'm fairly sure they get paid for it, and not just in hugs and kisses. But she.
I mean, you talk to some old people; they would slave away for hours and hours and hours just to have some company.
It's a nice thing. They come in, they cook their home cuisine, and everybody, you know, if it's Turkish grandma night, all the Turks come in and they have their baba ganoush is that Turkish?
You're so racist.
Is that Greek?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, that was a bad example.
Goat's head soup, right?
Yeah, probably. Well, anyway, so I know that you and I contributed a great amount of racial diversity to our particular gene pool in our family. And I was thinking, what would happen if your grandmother and my grandmother got into the kitchen together? Because I remember my grandmother lived with us for a while when I was growing up. She lived in an apartment in Brooklyn until she couldn't really be alone anymore. And then she came and moved into our, dilapidated Victorian mansion in rural New Hampshire and kind of just brought her whole deal with her, which was a mile-high, bright white beehive hairdo that was completely stiff with hairspray, and her cat's eye glasses with rhinestones all over them. That's the last time that was in, well, it was the time before last that it was in style, actually. I think we're on the third wave right now. But she used to make, she would make salmon croquettes, which I used to cry if I came home and smelled it because it had onions and fish together. And it was just, you know, when you're 6 years old, that's little not, kids, that's not a treat. That's not a treat. Thing. It was just so terrible. And she would yell at me, "Why are you crying?" So, gas track. So she would. But she would make blintzes. She would make homemade blintzes. I remember she had a special iron frying pan where she would, spread the batter in and then fry it up real hot and then slam it down on the table to knock it out of the pan. And she would make dozens and dozens of these. And, what else would she make? Your grandmother.
My grandmother was not a good cook.
No. Tell us a little bit about
her. Well, she's a Baptist gal from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Who came out west and married an Irish gentleman.
This is getting worse and worse.
It does. It does. So he had nothing to compare it to because, I mean, he was an Irish guy from St. Louis. So
and grew up eating dirt, probably. Yeah. Lead chips, lead paint.
The sight of tears. So she would cook things like spaghetti, but she would get all the spaghetti and break them all in half and boil it up and pour some ketchup on it and serve that.
What, would she heat up the ketchup or just?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I get like nightmare stories about about my grandma's cooking. And she would take leftover rice and put it into a bread pan.
Yeah.
And leave it overnight so it would all kind of congeal. And then she would slice the rice up.
Yeah.
And cook it up like French toast.
Okay. That kind of sounds good.
It does kind of sound good, but she would cook everything in bacon fat, and she always had a can of bacon fat underneath the sink, and no one knew why it never went rancid.
I think
she was just constantly cooking bacon in that house. That's my guess. But she was not a great.
All right, I'm totally gonna make congealed rice bacon patties though.
That doesn't sound terrible.
I want some now. All right. That's all right.
But she made excellent desserts.
Oh yeah.
Usually involving a lot of like whipped cream and chocolate pudding and graham cracker crust. Like her sister, my Aunt Willie.
I met Aunt Willie.
Aunt Willie is the nicest person on the planet.
Yeah.
And her desserts, like there was no reason why Aunt Willie wasn't by all rights 400 pounds, and yet she wasn't.
No,
she was this nice little lady.
Teeny, weeny little lady. One of the, she was. She reminded me of like a Q-tip.
Yes.
She was kind of like a fancy Q-tip lady.
And she was married to Uncle Charlie, who was a big guy, and he was a former beat cop for the LAPD. And those are other stories.
Those are other stories. We'll save those for another day. I seem to have a
bag of nickels, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy, when they say beat cop, they. So anyway. I was looking for a recipe the other day because a lovely lady gave me an Instant Pot, which I yammer on incessantly about my Instant Pot. And I was looking for a recipe. I went to instantpot.com for recipes, and I came across a strange recipe, which, what was it? It was like beer potato fish or something.
You cannot make beer potato fish this in a restaurant.
Yeah. Was crazy, and it was like some of the ingredients were like rock candy, and then it had red peppers in the picture, but there were no red peppers, and then it told you to press the fish button, and there is no fish button. So I think what happened, somebody sent me this article. It says the neural network has weird ideas about what humans like to eat. So it's asking, they're trying to program computers to come up with likely recipes based on what it knows about humanity in general, what the computer knows about food and about humanity in general. And here are some of the recipe titles that it came up with. I was dying reading this. You're probably not going to think it is as funny as I do. Beef soup with swamp beef and cheese. I don't Swamp Peeves.
Really?
P-E-E-F. Chocolate chops and chocolate chips. Whole chicken cookies. completely meat circle. completely meat chocolate pie. Cabbage pot cookies. Artichoke gelatin dogs. And my favorite, crockpot cold water. which I have made. I totally made that. So I can never tell if these things are terrifying or reassuring because, you know, you feel like the internet is spying on you and Alexa is spying on you and Russia is spying on you and they know, you know, you buy a pair of pants and it follows you around the internet for the rest of your life. And then
pants if you're lucky.
Oh, my stars. Here, I have a tip for you, ladies and gentlemen. If you happen to be a married couple and you're not dead yet and maybe you occasionally shop for things, make sure that your Amazon account is not connected to your children's Amazon account. Not like Amazon the family account.
Amazon account. Have a grown-up Amazon account.
Oh, boy. You know, and what happens, you shout humanity vitae and slam the door. That's what you do. That's right. How you take care of that. And that answers all their questions. Oh, boy. Yeah, one thing is just leading into another. I have the stupidest thing I heard all week. Do you want to, shall we start with mine?
Yours is leading.
Mine is so friggin' stupid, though. It's not even... I don't think this is going to come as a surprise to you in more than one way. It says, this headline doesn't make sense. Oh, I guess they're being weird with grammar. It says, sex wearable is coming to track your performance and judge you. It's basically a Fitbit for your man bits.
Oh, no.
That tracks thrust, speed, and velocity.
Oh, for God's
which,
sake.
It's expensive, too. It's $75. I don't know. It comes with an app, and it keeps track of stuff I feel like...
You should know.
Well, somebody should know, right?
Yeah. I mean,
and if you want to know, like...
It's not a competitive sport here. Well, no. What are we doing?
I don't know. I just don't know. Humanity vitae. Slam. All right, tell me.
Well, mine has nothing to do with sex.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm obsessed. I can't help it. I can't change it.
I thought you were going to talk about that other thing we were talking about. But
what other thing?
Well, maybe we'll get into that later.
All right.
Anyway, so the stupidest thing I saw, it actually happened tonight. I was at work, and we have the TV on. So we can watch the TV news at 6 to see if there's anything we didn't catch.
Yep.
So we can scoop it up right away.
Scoop.
And the sound is off, and I just see it's the story about boating accident victim suing boat driver. I'm like, nah, okay. And I look up, and there's this pretty young gal, and she's missing half her arm. And she's going up to testify. I'm like, yikes. Okay, well, that's really all
that
I
was
need.
A pretty big accident.
Yeah, I can pretty much guess what happened there. And then they flash to a picture of the boat in question.
Yeah.
And, you know, boats have names. And this boat is named Not, N-A-U-T, nautical.
Okay, yep.
Not Guilty. I'm like, holy cow. So I looked it up.
Wow.
I had to. And it's a boat owned by a DUI defense attorney.
Oh,
guess who was drunk?
Oh, my gosh.
And he wasn't even driving the boat. One of his law students was driving the boat.
I thought you were going to say his dog.
This big fat load with a man bun in court. And he was the boat driver and everybody was drunk and this gal, everybody was swimming and they were. And so anyway,
that's horrible.
Not guilty.
That is not a fun day at the beach at all.
No.
They shouldn't. I think there should be. You should not have. You should. That guy ought to have a computer name his next boat. That'll show him. In my opinion,
it'll be called Crockpot Cold Water, right?
Gelatin Grasshopper Dog.
What was it, man.
Okay, this has nothing to do with anything. It is not timely in any way, and I can't remember how I found out about it. But a couple of years ago, Mel Brooks, my hero, was leaving his handprints in the Walk of Fame thing in Hollywood, you know, where you leave your hands in the cement. And for the special, you know, he got dressed up and he prepared a speech. And he also had a prosthetic finger attached to his hand.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I don't know how I didn't know this before, but his handprints have 11 fingers on them. Isn't that?
Oh, you know, my goodness.
I like Mel Brooks.
That is perfect.
I think that's pretty cool.
He is a constant source of joy.
Well, really. I don't know about constant. He's on average, I come across very him. Reliable, yes. I would say. Here's something strange. In Poland, there is a grove of trees, which is, you know, this might be better if you can actually see the picture, but there's a whole forest of trees which are growing very, very crookedy, not just sort of leaned over a little bit, but they're shaped like they're all writhing around. They're not actually moving, but they're twisted into C shapes and S shapes, and nobody knows why. And this is something that has happened before.
Maybe
because
it's they're Polish trees.
No, I'm Polish. Come on.
No, you're not.
Sure I am. I'm part Polish-ish, Russian-ish. It's one of those deals where, like, you live in, like, Grubinsky-Dansk or something. and you wake up in the morning and you're like, all right, what side of the border are we on today? Oh, speaking of which, this I don't think this counts as political. Mm. Some lady voted for Trump. And, when they finish building the wall, she is upset to realize that she is going to end up on the Mexican side. and that's all I have to say about that.
Your Trump presidency, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir. All right. So nobody knows what happened to them trees.
Huh.
Maybe it was frost.
It could have been a lot of things.
Could have been a lot of guys were yelling and stuff.
Could be.
Huh. Oh, tell me about... Tell me about, you know, I left a lot of links here, but I'm a complete idiot. And it's this, you know, 32 lines of a string of code that I put here because apparently I've never used the internet before. And I can't, it's Mel Brooks again. Oh. Never mind, I guess I wrote it twice.
Oh, it's Mel Brooks.
I was really impressed by that. Six fingers, you don't say. I didn't know he had six fingers. Tell me again. this is how I do my research. And this is, All right, you got anything else? Because I do. Oh,
I do.
Tell me all about it then.
We wanted to talk about the lawsuit. Another legal thing sort of catches my eye these days.
Yep.
A lawsuit involving a gentleman here in Massachusetts, right across the border.
Okay, so when Damien says gentleman, just pay attention, that's all.
Well, he had been going to Dunkin' Donuts, as is his wont. It's New England. We all go to Dunkin's.
Yeah.
And...
There is a Dunkin' Donuts like every like 300 yards or so.
Yeah.
There really, really is. I'm not exaggerating.
No, I know. And they don't really serve coffee there. It's too sweet to be called to consider coffee.
It's very sludgy on toward the bottom. Well, yeah. That's it. I don't have sugar in my coffee, so
okay.
I don't have that issue. I kind of like their coffee.
Well, it's sweet even without sugar, I have found.
Hmm.
In any event, this guy goes and gets his bagel at Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. And first of all, why are you getting a bagel at Dunkin' Donuts, sir?
I get a bagel at Dunkin' Donuts Thursday. I do. I had one this morning. And then I park in the parking lot. I use my flosser and I get the poppy seeds out of my teeth. And I think about what I'm going to say to my therapist. And that's my Thursday every other Thursday. It's a little tradition.
Yeah.
But I don't have sugar in my coffee because that's silly.
All right. In any event, he was going to Dunkin' Donuts for his bagel. And asking for butter on his bagel.
All right, that's stupid.
And then, but they were serving him margarine or some other spread. They didn't specify what other spread. And I really feel like that, forget a lawsuit, someone ought to get shot over that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I mean, I want butter. I want butter, animal fat.
Butter and
I don't want processed vegetable fat.
Okay, how about old Arkansas bacon fat, though, lard?
Mm.
How would that be, then?
If but you have to advertise it,
and he
so
said,
so the so
like
the
a,
Heaps
a
could avoid that.
No,
I mean, if you can't put bacon fat on a bagel.
Oh, that's true. Well, you can't really put butter on a bagel either, though. That's stupid. You have to put cream cheese on a bagel.
This is true, but if you wanted butter and you got margarine, that's no good.
No, that's definitely no good.
He sued, but he didn't just sue the corporation. He sued like 23 Dunkin' Donuts. He went to 23 different Dunkin' Donuts and got the same thing. I don't know what kind of time this guy.
He must be an attorney
because only those motherfuckers have that kind of time.
Uh-huh.
So he goes, he sues 23 different Dunkin' Donuts and he wins. And now he's got like a class action going. And if you join the class action butter soup.
Really?
Yeah, you could get like 3 free muffins.
All right, all right. That's where I draw the line. That's where I draw the line, because if you're going to buy a muffin at, because you get a bagel if you're going to Dunkin' Donuts, but you're like, all right, but I'm going to be as Lent. I'm not going to have a donut. I'm going to have a bagel. But if you go ahead and have a muffin instead, well, don't you understand what I'm saying? If you're going to a donut place and you're going to like show some self-restraint, so you go ahead and you buy a bagel.
You get a cup of coffee.
Well, but what if you're hungry?
I thought it was Lent.
I'm just... Did you give up coffee for Lent?
I thought it was Lent. I thought you don't, you know,
it's a
little sacrifice.
I'm just saying.
Maybe I'll go without my cruller today.
I don't like crullers. I think they're stupid.
What about a bear's claw?
I don't know what that is, and I refuse to acknowledge. Don't understand the question, and I refuse to acknowledge it.
But what is the proper reward for that lawsuit?
For the pain and suffering of having asked for butter and getting margarine instead?
Yes. If this was one of the kids and they came to you and said, I thought this was butter, but it was margarine.
Right.
What would you do for them?
One of the kids?
Yeah.
I'd say, go get a job, you bum. Get your own butter. It's expensive.
So,
it's like, what should this guy get? Pound. Well, I don't know. He should get a refund.
So that's like $3. So that's like $3 to 23. So he should get like, you know, $60. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. Is that what he's suing them for?
No. I'm sure he's suing them for bajillions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's America.
But they shouldn't lie. If you're going to serve us donuts, the people who serve us donuts should not be liars. I think you're asking for a lot.
What
side of the border are we on?
I don't know. I didn't vote for Trump.
Is this Canadian radio all of a sudden?
I know what the intentional walk is. That's all I know.
Even I know what an intentional walk is. I'm going to read a poem if you have an objection to it.
Well, before we get into the poetry,
mm-hmm.
We need to get into our scheduling. We need to run this weekend.
Yeah.
Why are you telling them
about this?
I don't know.
I don't want to talk about this.
You don't want to talk about it?
No.
Well, what else are we going to do this weekend? I thought this was the weekend we're going to take up painting.
Stop it. I'm going to read a poem.
We're going to need a bigger canvas. You go sit
over there, and I'm going to read this poem, okay? This is by Don Marquis, and it's from one of his... If you're not familiar with Don Marquis, he did this series in newspapers where he did this crazy thing where the idea was that a free verse poet had... become a cockroach in some way. I forget exactly what it was. And he had this drive to create poetry. So he found his way into a newspaper office, and he would, using his whole body, he would dive headfirst into the keys of the typewriter and leave these free verse poems in the typewriter, and then the editor would find them in the morning, and he would print them in the newspaper, and that was the gimmick. Okay, so I don't know if that adds anything or not, but some of them are very taking, some of them are ridiculous, some of them are very rather arresting. Okay, this one is called The Lesson of the Moth. So this is in the voice of Archie the Cockroach. I was talking to a moth the other evening, and he was trying to break into an electric light bulb and fry himself on the wires. Why do you fellows pull this stunt? I asked him. Because is it the conventional thing for moths, or why? If that had been an uncovered candle instead of an electric light bulb, you would now be a small, unsightly cinder. Have you no sense? Plenty of it, he answered. But at times we get tired of using it. We get bored with the routine and crave beauty and excitement. Fire is beautiful, and we know that if we get too close, it will kill us. But what does that matter? It is better to be happy for a moment and be burned up with beauty than to live a long time and be bored all the while. So we wad all our life up into one little roll, and then we shoot the roll. That is what life is for. It is better to be part of beauty for one instant and then cease to exist than to exist forever and never be part of beauty. Our attitude toward life is come easy, go easy. We are like human beings used to be before they became too civilized to enjoy themselves. And before I could argue him out of his philosophy, he went and immolated himself on a patent cigar lighter. I do not agree with him. Myself, I would rather have half the happiness and twice the longevity. But at the same time, I wish there was something I wanted as badly as he wanted to fry himself.
Huh. That's pretty good.
It's interesting, yeah. Isn't it? I recommend finding The Life and Times of Archie and Mehita Bell, who is this this sort of promiscuous cat who goes wandering around looking for a male companion, and she keeps on getting pregnant and trying to get away from her kittens, and she's always trying to persuade everybody that she's not dead yet. There's life in the old dame yet. So, I mean, she's not a role model per se, but nevertheless.
Well, that's pretty good.
All right.
I think we're good.
I forgot to say, I'm sorry, we lost our microphone. So
we did. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, sorry, Joe.
And that's it.
Yep.